Well, the Lord be with you. I'd like to welcome each and everybody here. Glad to have Tom and Helen with us today. They able to make the trip up. We're short in number today, but we're big in spirit, and God's going to be with us. Still got a lot of folks traveling. Pray God will give everybody traveling mercies. A lot of folks are trying to get it out and about before school starts. With that new schedule, it has really got things on an uproar. So be praying for everybody that's traveling. God will be with them. I had a good service this morning at the early church, and pray God will continue to be with that. It continues on through the summer. So come on down if you'd like. Invite somebody out. We'd greatly appreciate that. All but homecoming. Homecoming's coming up on August the 11th. So be inviting folks out. It's always a big day, big meal, a lot of good stuff. Pastor Larry Boss will be here with us. So looking forward to that. We have several announcements and concerns for you. First of all, we're going to have a back-to-school bash on August the 4th. August the 4th. Now, Rita wanted to make sure that I got all this out. So come on out. It's at the after the 10:30 service, August the 4th. They're going to wear your school colors. Bring your book bag for the blessing of the book bags. We're going to start the new school year. All the kids that are going up in a class, they're going to go up. All the kids are, we're going to have a hot dog cookout and all that, inflatable water slide, water balloons, snow cones, more, all that. And they are collecting items, and all the kids that come are going to get some items to help out for school this year in a book bag. So we appreciate all that, and we look forward to that, because I know sometimes it's hard to get all them school items gathered up. It can be a hard thing. But August the 4th, be aware of that. We're looking forward to it happening. Also, Camp Agape is coming up. Begins Monday, the 29th. So not this Monday, but the next Monday, Camp Agape will be here. Also need a few other folks to help with meals in the evening for the students. Joyce, do you know how many more we need? May have, but wouldn't hurt for somebody. If you can help to feed those young counselors, it'd be a great thing. Look forward to doing it, and they're just great kids, and it can be a blessing to you and to them also. So be aware of that. Camp Agape, and especially all the Agape kids, it's a good thing. Early service continues on. Remember it. Oregon Community Senior Citizens Group, they are going to Shady Oaks Plantation. That's over in Ansonville. The bus is going to leave on July the 24th, Wednesday, 9 a.m., cost 11. They're going Dutch Treat for their meal, I guess for the tour and the meal and all that. So remember that. The O-Wings are collecting school supplies for over at Shive School. There's an entire list here, just too much to go through, and we'd appreciate if you'd look after that. Mark says that the choir will begin, is it Wednesday the 31st? Wednesday the 31st, choir practice will begin. If you'd like to join the choir, I think they'd like to have you. I think they can accommodate you and take care of you, and they'd love to have you be a part of that. They're going to come back for the 31st to begin for the fall, for everything happening in fall, and they give them a couple weeks to get ready for homecoming also. Please do not forget our change stewardship. Your response has been very great, and we appreciate that. Please continue to remember, just a little bit of money can make a great and a big difference in this congregation and in our finances, and we can meet any budget need we need to meet. Are there any other announcements that maybe we've missed? Don't want to miss anything. Anything maybe we missed. Well, I guess we will begin right now. Huh? I'm sorry. The work day, August the 3rd. Thank you, Daniel. I did it at the morning service. I actually did it down there. Morning, sir. What all do you need? You guys, I know, are going to be cleaning up out here. We need some pressure washers, shelter. Yeah. So we're basically going to make sure we're ready for homecoming. We're going to clean the shelter, make sure we got all the stuff we need, got our knots and gazendas in a row that way, inventory, pressure washers, anything that can clean, just kind of beautify up a little bit and do all that. August 3rd, I apologize. I did get it at the early service. I did get it there, but we forgot it here, so please forgive me. But anything else maybe we've missed. All right, now at this time, we are going to begin with our hymn. Our first hymn is 596. 596. the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Almighty and merciful God grant to you, being penitent, pardon and remission of all of your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated if you would. Let's have our children come forward for the children's message. Any takers?
Morning.
I know. I'm glad you did that for me.
Good morning, everybody.
Moving slow today.
Good morning. How are y'all doing? You good? Good. I'm glad. Well, we have some different readings for today. Like every week, we read from the Bible, okay? And there's a couple of different things I want to talk about, because we talked about for a while now, we've been kind of building on the same stuff, how God saves us, right? Jesus died for us, and so he saves us, and that means that God lives in us now. And that means that we can be with him forever, right? That's pretty cool. That's some good news. But then what happens sometimes in life? It can get kind of hard, huh? We have some problems sometimes. Maybe we get sick or we don't feel good. Or we wish that we could do something fun and we can't. And we have to try to deal with some stuff that we don't like to do, right? Some, like clean up, exactly. I deal with that every day. I got to clean up, and I don't like to clean up, right? But we got to do some of that stuff that's not too fun, right? Well, guess what? We have to remember something really cool. One of our readings today is Abraham and his wife, Sarah. You remember Father Abraham, the song that we sing? Yeah? Well, guess what? They were pretty old. They were so old that they were like grandparents, and so they couldn't have any more kids of their own. They couldn't have any kids. And so God tells them that they're going to have a son. But they're thinking that they were too old, and so that was impossible. But did they have a son? Yeah. They had a child, even though it was impossible. And God said, think about it. If I'm God, then there's nothing impossible for me. Right? And so he did that. So what I want to do now, talk about, is just how we need to move forward, knowing that we're God's and we're with God forever. And that's really good news. But then, in the meantime, when things get tough, we just remember that he's God and that nothing's impossible for him. And that can help us, right? But we're not always that good at it, are we? Do we still get kind of upset and stressed out and stuff? Yeah. And there's another reading I just want to read to you real quick. Paul is writing in here, and he's talking about how we can be mature in Christ. And that actually means that we keep doing the things that Jesus wants us to do, and that Jesus helps us to get better at those things, like trusting God. Isn't that cool? And here's the coolest part, I think. Paul says that he struggles, and he struggles with all of Jesus' energy that Jesus powerfully works within us. So guess what? Not only do we practice that kind of stuff, but we actually use Jesus' energy. Y'all get tired sometimes? Jack, do you ever get tired? I didn't think so. I get tired a lot. But guess what? For this kind of stuff, the stuff that God calls us to do, we don't actually have to use our energy. We can use Jesus' energy. And Jesus is God, so that's a lot of energy. So we know that when we try to practice this stuff, like trusting God, that we use Jesus' energy to do it. And that means that it can get done, huh? So let's remember that. When life is hard, we just remember that God is powerful and that he's perfect and that nothing's impossible for him, and we'll get better at that because we use Jesus' energy to do it. Isn't that cool? I think that's pretty cool. All right, let's pray, and you can get a sucker and go to Children's Church, okay? Dear Lord, thank you for all of the wonderful gifts that you give us, and thank you for reminding us that nothing is impossible for you, and helping us to practice remembering that using your energy. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all, come on and get a sucker. Unpopular colors.
Oh, it is. It's hard decisions. Difficult decisions.
There you go. Good job.
Hard stuff. Let's pass the peace to several folks. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Phyllis, peace be with you. May bless you. Peace is to you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, Reaper.
Peace. I'll take that. I'd rather have that. Here, you can take. I'd rather have that for peace than anything. Peace be with you, my friend. You be good. Peace be with you, Andrew. Peace be with you, my friend. You're going to need a lot of peace.
You ain't kidding.
You go get them.
I'm going to try.
You go get them.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, my friend. Peace be with you now. Peace be with y'all. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, my brother. Peace be with you. We'll let you up here today. You come be with him. Well, we're glad you could come. Just watch him. Don't watch Bill. You got your hands full. I bet there's the boss of both of you right there. Good to see you, bro. Peace be with you, Mr. Hurley. Peace be with you, my friend. Many blessings. That's all right. Peace be with y'all. We're glad y'all been here with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Just make yourself at home.
Thank you.
Peace be with you, my friend. Yeah, peace be with you, man. Claudine, peace of God be with you. Peace of God with you, Larry. Good to see you, my brother. Good to see you. Tom, you are straight up.
I
about run out of peace before I got to you, Tom.
Peace be with you. We might need to stay back here.
For Tom, I don't know if it's peace or peace.
I ain't going to lie about that. I may tell it two or three different ways.
Well, I know that. I figured. Thank you. Peace be with you. I did run out before I got to you. I definitely run out before I got to you.
Our first reading today comes from the 18th chapter of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, "O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, 3 sheeks of fine flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." Here ends the first reading. The second reading comes to us from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. "You, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that he powerfully works within me. Here ends the second reading.
Let's all stand as we're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. And now the Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted and with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. Blake, if you would allow me to just have a word of prayer as we begin. Let's pray. Most precious God, and we do thank you for this wonderful day. We pray that you would continue to bless here at Oregon Church, and you would continue to open our hearts and minds to you. Give us words to say, and Lord, take this seed and scatter it and use it as you see fit. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be focusing on the Genesis text. But each one of these texts has a little bit of remnant of what we're going to discuss today. But let's look at what's going on here. Now, God himself comes to Abraham. He does this on a few occasions, by the way. He comes to Abraham and to Sarah, and he comes down, and Abraham's all worried about getting all the food and all the stuff. But God has a message, and he says, "I told you, Abraham," remember, he told Abraham this a long time ago, before this, "you and Sarah's going to have a child. You're going to have a child." And what does Sarah do? She laughs. She laughs because she says, "I'm too old to have a baby. And Abraham, he's too old to have a baby. It just ain't happening." Because why? They are looking, and she is looking at the facts. You remember the old show, Sergeant Friday, the facts, nothing but the facts. Just give me the facts. Well, that's what Sarah's looking at, the facts. She can't have a baby. She's too old. It's not going to happen. But God is saying differently. Now, we can get on to Sarah, and we could say, well, you know, Sarah, she didn't have faith. She didn't have this. But, you know, again, God came to Abraham long before this and said, "You're going to have a child." Guess what he did? He laughed too, because he was still older at the time. And do you know what the word Isaac means? It means laughter. So when they do have their child, it's a great time of laughter. And now let's understand something. God says, "I am going to do this thing for you, Abraham and Sarah." But yet, they have doubt in their heart. Because why? As Sergeant Friday says, the facts. Nothing but the facts. Just give us the facts. They're looking at the facts. The facts say this is not going to happen. And they even, before this, they even tried to help out God. Because, you know, God needs a little help once in a while. He needs a little shove. He can't really do it on his own. So he needed a little help. So what did they do? They said, "Well, you know what? Sarah said, I have a handmaid named Hagar, and in the day, they could do that in that time." He said, "She can have a child for me, and it will be my child." Well, his name was Ishmael. His name was Ishmael. Now, they tried to help out God, and that just caused havoc all throughout, because God didn't say, "You go get your handmaid, and her and Abraham will have a child together." No, God said, "You, Abraham, you, Sarah, are going to have a child." And at the end of this, he says, "Is there anything too hard for me to do? Is there anything too hard for God?" No, there is nothing too hard for God. Now, what really is going on here, though? It's not really about what's too hard for God. It's about we looking at the facts, we looking at things with our limited knowledge, and not understanding that God can do above and beyond what we think and what we know. You see, if we trust God for making this world, now I mean, if you really believe that God made this world, however he did it, he spoke it into creation. He spoke this world, this universe, and all into substance. If we believe in that, and we as Christians claim we believe in that, do we not? If we believe that God raised Jesus Christ, his son, from the dead, and do we not believe that? That's what the entire church hinges on. Wouldn't even be a church without this fact that Jesus was dead and was resurrected again. And also, if we believe that God can resurrect human beings at the end of time, you know, graveyards, cemeteries, we have both, speak that once somebody is in the grave, they're not coming out. But God says differently. And if we can trust him for those things, and we believe that he is going to do those things, and we as Christians, we confess that weekly. We confess that quite often in the creeds and in other ways, that he has done these things and that he can do all these other things. Then why can we not trust him that an old man and an old woman can have a baby? Some of you starting to think, boy, I don't know about all this. Some of you hoping God doesn't come tell you you're going to have a baby, I'll bet. But if God says he can do something, he will do it. We can't just look at what we see in the here and the now. Yes, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Just the facts. Well, here's the thing. Why can we not just look at the facts? Why can we not just take reality as it is for the future? God is dealing with the future here and not the present. Here's the first thing. God makes the future possible. Abraham and Sarah did not believe that the future was possible for them to have a son and that they would have descendants. God said, as if you can number the grains of sand, then you will have descendants, as many as those are, or as many as there are stars in the sky. He says, you will have descendants like this. They were looking at the realities that were, and they were saying, there's no way that God can give us descendants. He can't even give us the one descendant that we need to get all the other descendants. But God says, yes, it's possible. You see, God makes the future possible. He holds the future in his hand. The future that God has is not dependent upon what we see in the here and in the now. It's not dependent upon the facts, just merely the facts. No, it's dependent upon God, because God is not limited by fact. He is not limited by realities. He can do anything. And if we trust him, there is a great future ahead of us. Let's look at this plainly. God holds the future. How do we know this? We know this for several reasons. We have children's ministries. Why do we have children's ministry? Because we're looking towards the future. We're not just looking in the here and the now. We're looking towards the future. And God says, you must what? Make disciples. You don't just raise up a disciple. No, you've got to make a disciple. That means there's something in it. There, it takes some effort. It takes a little bit of sacrifice. It takes other things. Just so you know, we have children's message. Again, this is trying to make disciples. I hate to break it to you. I've told you this a long time ago. Children's message is not for the children. It's actually for you. Children, all they want is a sucker. It's all they care about. They want a sucker. Give them a sucker and they're happy. The children's message actually is for the adults, to be quite frankly honest with you. But we're still trying to get that message into them. Why? Because there's a future that God has in the palm of his hand. We have youth group. We have other things. It's not just so they can have fun, by the way. No, it's so that we can what? We can make disciples. Do you know why? Because we're looking at the future. These kids are going to face things that you and I could not even imagine. Now, I was in school in the 70s and the early 80s. Trust me, God's prayer was not thought a lot of in that day and that time, but prayer was still there in many ways. But the system itself was not hostile towards the faith of Christianity. But today, many in the system, and the system itself in many ways, is against Christianity. They are going to be challenged in their faith. They're going to be challenged just for merely being a Christian. And you see, we have to make them and grow them because the future is in them. And we can't let their faith go shipwrecked just because we didn't entertain them enough. It's not about entertainment. It's not about those things. It's about helping them to grow in Jesus Christ. And just for the record, I know this for a fact. They ask great questions. The teenagers ask great questions. Confirmation class, they ask great questions. Some of them are just barely into their teens. And the youth group, they ask great questions. They really do. Why is that? Because their faith is questioned. Them being a Christian is questioned. Everything about their future in God is questioned. So boy, they're really good at asking questions. And we need to thank God for that. But we have to understand, God has them in His hand. The future is in God's hand. God serves as a source of hope in situations where the future seems entirely blocked off. I'm going to tell you, if you just look at the state of Christianity in our day and our time, it looks bleak. It looks bleak. Attendances are way down across the board. There's nobody who wants to go into pastoral ministry anymore. When I was in seminary, there was a handful of folks who were going in to pastoral ministry. Most people were going into chaplaincy, or they were going on and working on PhDs to go into the academic aspect of it and all that. Not against any of that. We need all that. But there's very few people who want to go into pastoral ministry any longer. Because why? There's no hope in many folks. And a lot of folks look at the state of things. We see the heresies that are being spread. We see some of the evil stuff that is cropping up into the church. And we see things happening in our society. And the church almost seems to be, how shall we say, a non-effect in this world in many ways. There was a time when the church was a voice of reason, the voice of morality, the voice of structure. And as a matter of fact, I wrote an article several months ago about many of the organizations and things that we once cherished in this nation. They are now thought of in disrespect, and they are now thought of as non-effective. Let's go through a few of them. The government in many ways. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. You think of all of your great clubs that are out there and they're doing some great work. The Legion, the VFW, Kiwanis, the Lions. All those clubs have gone down in the sight of folks. Why? Because there's no hope. And I will tell you this. I think the church was the thing that buttressed all of those clubs and all of those organizations. Our public schools are not thought of like they once were. Is that because we have bad teachers and all that? No. We have wonderful folks. But the church is not doing its job to support these folks as it should in many ways because there's no hope. But God can take a situation where it looks like there's no hope, where it looks like everything has been blocked off, the future is over. God can intervene and He can give hope in that situation. He did it for Abraham. He did it for Sarah. And He can do it for me and for you. God gives shape to possibilities. Do you understand that? God gives shape to possibilities when all around seems impossible. It seemed impossible at one time to travel to what we call the new world where you and I live today. Go back and think of the time before Columbus and others, Magellan and other people. before. They thought you would just sail off the side of the earth. They didn't know until somebody discovered, hey, there's actually a horn around Africa. You can go around there. You ever heard they've been around the horn? Been around the horn of South America. They didn't realize all these things. And when somebody went out and took the opportunity, took the chance, it expanded things today. God does the same thing for us. I want you to hear me if you don't hear anything else. There is a law in effect, if you will. It's not a written law. It has nothing to do with the government. It has nothing to do with anything. But it works. It's called opportunity breeds opportunity. And that means when God opens up a door, he opens it up, and guess what? Things get bigger than they ever did before. You see, you think, well, I've only got 100 yards to go. Yes, I'm back here on this goal line, and I got to get 100 yards to my goal line. Well, guess what? When an opportunity arises, the field stretches about another 30, 40 yards, and then you got to get there. See what I'm saying? Opportunity breeds opportunity. That's what we're saying here when we say that God gives shape to possibilities, but he requires us to move in those things, to have faith in him. When everything else seems to be impossible, God says it is possible. It can be done. We can turn the church in America around. We can turn the church in the United States around. We can turn this country around. But it requires us to put faith in God, and it requires us to work and to move and to understand that the possibilities, and sometimes it means we got to step outside of what we think is fact. And finally, the active engagement of God in the midst of problems of daily life opens up the future rather than closing it down. Sometimes it's in the mundane things of life. When God becomes active, that opens up the future. How is that? Through prayer. Through our tithing and our giving. You see, God is going to take these things, your prayers, your Bible reading, all of these things, and he is going to use it for his glory, that he might receive glory, and that, guess what, that the kingdom of God may grow. Because through these things, it seems mundane, but as you grow in God, you're able to go forth. You're able to go forth and tell people more about God. That means coming to God's house, reading God's word, praying, being active in this community in all sorts of ways. God will use those things, and he will take those, and he will grow them, even when it seems like nothing can happen. I'm going to leave you with this. And I think those of you who have been in education will understand this more than most, but I think everybody will understand this. Have you ever had that one thing? Maybe you were a teacher. Use this example, but I think it can resonate for everybody. This kid that you never thought, boy, they just can't quite get it. They're just not getting it. You're working, you're working, you're working. Boy, you really want this kid to get it because you see potential and you see the possibilities, but yet they just can't quite get it. And then all of a sudden, all that work, all of that trying and all of that stuff pays off, and they have the aha moment, and the light bulb goes off. And from that point forward, they begin to excel, maybe in the areas you never thought, that they never thought were possible. Maybe a kid who struggled in mathematics goes on to maybe get an engineering degree or something of that. Who knows? Maybe a kid who couldn't put two words together becomes a great author. You see, the thing, these small things that we do should resonate for each and every one of us. God makes the future possible. He holds it in his palm of his hand. But we have to trust in him. We have to look towards him and not look at what we can see as a horse does with his blinders. Sometimes we've got to look beyond to God's reality, which is not ours. Amen. Thank you. now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, or the Nicene Creed, I'm sorry. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He held it up for all to see. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you in the new covenant for the remission of sins for all. Do this for the remembrance of me." And now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated if you would. At this time, we invite all baptized Christians to join us in this holy meal. And we do have a gluten-free option. Just please let us know if you need that. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace, and lead you unto eternal life. And now the Lord's face shine upon you and God's grace rest with you till we meet again. now go in peace and serve the Lord.